Hey, yo, 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 what it do, my G's? Back at it again. Two shows within a week. Hell fuck yes. So let's get on into this episode. It was a pretty good weekend. I was actually more social than I anticipated, but it's all good. Ain't no complaints here. I went last week, starting off with meeting up with my homegirl Amanda. Shout out to her. She also has a podcast, Sis Intel, like Sis S-I-S Intel. She is with her sister, so that's dope. But yeah, we were just crash coursing and brainstorming some new jokes. So, because a lot of us don't have the energy to go to open mics to test out new material. But sometimes you got to bite the bullet. I was going to tonight, but I decided to record instead because, yeah, sometimes I just don't feel it. And plus, I did a lot of socializing, and like more than I anticipated. But it's cool. Like I said, no complaints. The Sunday was really dope. Me and my homegirl Sabrina, shout out to her as well. We went to College Park at the Gateway. What is it? Gateway Center Concourse Arena, whatever it's called. It's the official arena for the College Park Skyhawks. They are owned by 2 Chainz. Well, he's part owner of it, and it's the G League team. And they were playing against Maine. They were the Maine Celtics. So it was really, really fun. I love any level of basketball, so I'm always be giddy no matter what. But NBA games, that's the ultimate giddiness. I'm going to lose my shit. But anyways, yeah, I was really enjoying it. But before we got in there to enjoy it, we had a little hiccup because, ladies, if you go out to any sporting event, you got to be very diligent about what you bring. Because them motherfuckers do not play. You cannot have a backpack or a big ass satchel. Excuse me. Or any of that shit. It has to be a clear backpack. If it is a backpack, it has to be small. And it has to be a clear bag or a small clutch. So we didn't have any of. Well, my homegirl had her clutch in her backpack. But we were just walking in like, what up, G? And I had a small backpack, so it was just, the dude was like, yeah, nah, they ain't gonna let you in there, playba. So we ended up hiding, getting in the bushes. And I didn't even realize that the tickets were, and the bags were fine. But yeah, I didn't even realize the tickets said VIP. So we were all the way at courtside, and we ended up, because these tickets were given to me by my Hawks rep. And yeah, it was fucking fun as fuck. Like the VIP zone, it's you get 2 free drink tickets, then you get free food. And well, so while everything was delicious, but the shit that really had our high asses going was this popcorn that they were giving away too. It's like this really fancy ass caramel popcorn. I was like, man, why the fuck is this the one that's like, yeah, like they had perfectly cooked rice with chicken. They had a little spice to it, and then they topped it with some sweet potato hash. I'm like, y'all niggas did it up. Then they had really good desserts. Only had one, like, little tart, which was perfect. And then this caramel popcorn. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is everything good? Why did I not expect this fun-ass treatment? It was fun as fuck. Highly recommend anything. Tell you, man, anything VIP apparently is the place to be. So I was not mad at that. Yesterday I went to Walgreens and got my booster shot because I'm not trying to play these games, man. Like, especially if I'm going to go to the games mask. I'm going to be wearing my mask. I want to be vaxxed the fuck up and boosted the fuck up. So, and, it's the next day. So today is the following day, and yeah, I do have some side effects. I have the arm where I got the booster shot is sore, and I'm a little groggy. That's all, though. So it could have been way worse for sure, because I've heard worse. So I'm very grateful it wasn't as bad as I heard. I forgot to mention last podcast episode about Jovita Moore, her passing. She died from brain cancer. Yeah, like in April. Well, it was February when she said that she was going in to the hospital to check on it. And then April, they found out it was cancerous. And then she ended up passing away a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, a lot of people are sad about that shit. I'm really sad about it. She's been the news anchor since I've been here. And her death reminded me of the fact that Amanda Davis died in 2017 and how that's just still sad too. And I had no idea she battled alcoholism for most of her career. So yeah, we lost two really great icons, man, like great local news icons. So definitely my heart goes out to them for sure. And I guess we gotta keep an eye on Monica Pearson, nay Kaufman. When I moved here, she was Kaufman, and then she got married like a month later, and I was like, okay, girl. But it was really awesome seeing her on camera, because you don't see a lot of dark-skinned women on news anchors as a news anchor. So that was very awesome to see. But I really loved I loved Jovita Moore as well as Amanda Davis. Those three women, they were the trifecta for sure. So my heart goes out to them. And I'm going to round out this tip off with my brick and switch of the week. So the brick obviously goes to Aaron Rodgers lying ass. This nigga been lying. He out here thinking that he cheeky as shit at the press conferences with no fucking mask and all bare face in front of a fucking raw, like just totally raw dog in a microphone with his unvaccinated ass. Like this nigga right here. Meanwhile, Cam Newton got ousted. Like, what are we doing? Like, why is he not getting picked up? We got this goofy nigga, Aaron Rodgers, who literally, he was legit a guest host of Jeopardy. And people were really pushing for him to be the new host. Fuck this nigga, man. I want to give a shout out to Jerry Brewer. of the Washington Post, and also shout out to him being a fellow Western Kentucky alum. His brother actually was my first boss on the college newspaper. So shout out to them both Jerry Brewer and Kyle Hightower. Y'all are still the best at what y'all do when it comes to sports writing. Anyway, the whole point of me bringing him up though, Jerry, is he wrote an incredible fucking column about the whole situation and how it's like, we can't trust anything he says anymore, really. He out here thinking that he's better than everybody and smarter than everybody, and then come to find out he's spewing all this goofy shit. Yeah, I took ivermectin. Okay, bro, you took horse tranquilizer. Awesome. Or parrot, or no, not even that. It's it's medication for parasites. Like, what the fuck are we doing? But that, and that's his, and like him taking advice from Joe Rogan, not a doctor, but Joe Rogan, this nigga right here. So he's taking, he's like, and then he's quoting Martin Luther King in the same vein as him. Like he's Martin Luther King. He's like, Martin Luther King said that we should let people be free, have freedom of choice and all this shit. It's like, nigga, you had that freedom of choice. You also had the choice to tell the truth, which you did not. You lying motherfucker. I never liked the nigga. I mean, biased because he's a Packers nigga, but I just never liked him. He was always too so smug. And I was like, what the fuck is, what are you smug about? And finally the truth comes out a decade later. Fuck this guy, man. Old goofy ass, googly eyed motherfucker. What the fuck? Ugh, this dude sucks. Okay. Talking about I've been immunized. No, you fucking have, you goofy nigga. All right, so fuck that guy, big old brick. But you know who ain't been throwing up bricks in spite of the new rule in regards to players getting foul calls in the NBA? The switch goes to Stephen Curry, of course. Shout out to Wardell, baby. Wardell out here killing it. I mean, he's not getting as many foul calls, just like a lot of these guards. A lot of them haven't been the charity stripe, as they call it. I love it. But yeah, a lot of people, the free throw percentages have been low. Like the overall shooting percentage for the league, it used to be 44% last year, and now this year it's, well, I'll get into that actually. I'm repeating myself. But bottom line is Stephen Curry has been thriving regardless. He was thriving last year. Hell, he was thriving without Klay. He's thriving without him again. And he's thriving without getting favored calls and, you know, or getting foul calls in his favor. So he's doing all right. This nigga dropped 50 yesterday. Also, shout out to Candace Parker because the game was later and she just said, like, it was before the game ended. Like, you look at the timestamp of that tweet she said, Steph is going to drop 50 tonight. Like, she just predicted the fuck out of that. It was fucking wild. But, yeah, shout out to big old Swiss and Steph Curry, man. He might win the MVP. I mean, if he keep playing how he plays and doesn't get injured or stays healthy, rather, he's going to be all right. It's going to be another MVP run. And the Warriors are top team in the league again right now. They got the best record. So, we going to see. All right. Let's take a little break. All right, I'm just going to talk about this very briefly. The mayor race. The runoff is Felicia Moore versus Andre Dickens. Don't really care. Didn't vote this time. And I don't care if y'all criticize me. I'm just tired of voting. Like, this is my first time not voting. And I'm just tired of seeing my votes go to shit. Because I definitely voted for all the niggas who disappointed us. Like, and the audacity of Kasim Reed even trying again. Yikes. But I'm just glad it's over in my mind. Keisha, before she exited, she ended the mask mandate yesterday because the numbers are in the green again, meaning that it's not that many cases right now. I wonder how that's going to be, especially at my job because we still enforce it. I don't know. White people be upset about it. No one else really are. Like, oh, this is slavery. It's like, yeah, okay, tell us more about that, bro. This is why we need critical race theory. These niggas don't know what slavery is. All right, so speaking of slavery, the White House. All right, so the Bucks, they went to the White House. They're the first team, they're the first NBA team to visit the White House since the Obama administration. All 4 years during Trump's administration, nobody went. So, no thanks. Yesterday, was it last night when, let's just say that earlier this week, Markieff Morris did a hard foul on Nikola Jokic. And Jokic as soon as Morris turned around, Jokic clobbered him from the back. And yeah, that was both of those, you know, they have sucker punches. So, but as Richard Jefferson say, you don't do what Markieff Morris did, but you especially don't do what Jokic did. But if Morris doesn't do the hard foul, then people wouldn't be so easy to retaliate. But Jokic is a big old, it's just funny because, I mean, Jokic is kind of similar. Like, as far as temperament goes, he's very similar to Boogie Cousins, man. DeMarcus Cousins and Jokic, they have very similar temperament. And that Jokic be ready to go. And he got his rowdy ass brothers. They out here tweeting and shit like, yeah, man, signing off the Jokic brothers. Like, yo, man. Talking to Markieff's brother, Mark, is like, yo, if you want beef, we got beef. We'll be waiting. Like, nigga, shut up. And then you got Jimmy Butler, who's like, yo, let's meet in the hallway. And there's this really dope photo where it's him, Bam Adebayo. I think Kyle Lowry's there. But as those two are the most pro, you can see them immediately. They looking ready. They're like, nigga, fuck you. But Morris ended up being all right. He tweeted, I love to see the hate. No doubt I took a hard foul, which I always do, but I've never hit a man with his back turned. Luckily, we build different over here. I can take my licks and keep pushing. Joker 1-0, LOL. Which, that's funny. But that nigga, Joker's definitely going to get fined, and he's probably going to get suspended more games than Morris, for sure. And this whole new call where players can no longer lean into the defender for fouls, I'm so glad that's over. I hate that shit. That's so annoying. It's so, like, it's not a blocking foul, especially if they're standing up straight. So that's something that we've all learned that, you know, in basketball. So I'm glad that shit's over with. A lot of people thinking that a lot of fans and experts, I mean, NBA analysts are thinking that the low numbers and shooting percentage, like I was mentioning earlier, it went from 44% to like 34%. It's like a 9% difference. And they're even saying the league shooting percentage is the lowest it's been in more than 15 years. And its 3-point percentage is the worst this century. So in the past 22 years or 21 years, it's been, this is the worst so far. But we also have, what, 70 more games or a little bit less than 70. So got time, bros. But yeah, a lot of people thinking that it's because they're not getting the fouls. Then there's also the new basketball, which is Wilson. It started out with Wilson. Like, then when the NBA started, the official ball was Wilson for 37 years. Then they swapped to Spalding, and they used that for 37 years. Then they swapped it back. So I guess every 37 years, they're going to just go back and forth with who's going to do it. But yeah, like Paul George, he was saying it's a different basketball. It don't have, he said that, it don't have the same touch and softness that the Spalding ball had. Yeah, I never really was a fan of Wilson basketballs. I was kind of not in, when I saw that this was going to happen, when they were going to switch to the new balls, I wasn't really into it. So, yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that it's taking a lot of adjustment for some of these players, but a lot of these players are actually, they out here. So like a lot of these players are still balling, like Ja Morant killing it. Like I said, Steph Curry killing it. KD, he's still out here killing it. So yeah, people just got to adjust, you know, kids these days, right? A lot of these players came through during the participation trophy era. So a lot of them probably got their first trophies just for participating. No, I'm just kidding. Let me stop talking shit. Kyrie Irving, my goodness. So it's very likely he will not be playing this season, but there's a good possibility that he will play one game in this season, and that's the NBA All-Star game, because it won't be at the Barclays Center or at Madison Square Garden. So I don't know whether the All-Star game is this year. It's definitely not here. So yeah, it'll be cool. He might be maybe to play. Actually, it won't be cool. I don't give a fuck about that dude. But I think Michael Beasley is unvaccinated still, so I don't know. It's a very fine line with what's going on with the unvaccinated and vaccinated players. And then they're going to start urging players to get boosters. So we'll see. I want to make a correction, because when I was talking about the Rooney Rule in the last episode, I did not talk about the changes of it. So it used to be, it has to be at least one minority candidate in the interview process. Now it's two. So you got to have two minority candidates that you're going to waste their time for. If you hire them, it'll be for a coordinator or something, not for a head coach, I'm sure. But yeah, that's the NFL for you. Speaking of the NFL, so Frank Gore, who I used to be a fan of, well, when I was watching football, I was a fan of him because he was a Niner. I was a big Niners fan, and I really loved him as our fullback. He was dope. So Darren Williams, he was at the University of Illinois, and then he played a lot with the Jazz, and he was good. He was good. He had a good three-pointer, you know. I think he was a three-point champion. Yeah, I said fullback. I meant running back for Frank Gore. Because every time, like, it was just hard for me to believe that he wasn't a fullback, because he did some effective blocking for the Niners, but he was definitely, he was like Jerome Bettis as a running back. He was dope as shit. I fucked with him. But, yeah, Frank Gore versus Darren Williams. I don't know. I mean, I guess Darren Williams might have beefed up a little bit. He always had, like, a little extra pudge on him when he played, but he actually kind of lost it. Like, he got a little more svelte when he went to the NBA. When he was with University of Illinois, He definitely was had a little chub on him. And also, fuck that nigga, man. Anyway, just speaking from back when I was an Arizona fan, and them niggas came from behind and whooped that ass in 2005, man. No shout out to Salim Stoudemire. Anyway, I was like, Salim, what the fuck, man? He's had such a, he was such an angry dude. Wonder what he up to now. Anyway, so, they're going to be boxing each other, Frank Gore and Darren Williams. We'll see. It's during the undercard for Jake Paul and somebody else. I don't care. But I do care about the Frank Gore, Darren Williams. I really am intrigued to see who's going to win that. And I think that's in December, though. So we got some time. And college hoops is started. It has officially started. I think there's a game tonight. It's I know it's Duke. I think it's Kentucky versus Duke, man. Yeah. I don't have ESPN, though, so I'll be missing that. If y'all have any, someone told me about some piracy sites for sports. If y'all know, just let me know. Just kidding. Ha ha ha. I don't promote piracy. What? Wink. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to the timeout now. Hurrah. So, also going to keep this brief. This timeout, I want to talk about the most recent episode of Insecure. Yeah. So, the writing is improving, yes. They're adding more nuance to the situation as opposed to just making everything messy and have us being all mentally anguished from watching 30 minutes of mess. So, they're no longer celebrating the mess. And I think that's the whole point of the growth of this show, because it's the last season and, you know, they're in their 30s now. And once you hit your 30s, you try to figure out some of the patterns that have been damaging for your, that has been a hindrance for your growth, rather. And I'm happy that, and it's going to be spoilers, so, you know, when Issa tells Lawrence she can't do it, I was so proud of her for that. That shit was so great. We do a lot of things for love, but we don't have to suffer a bunch of bullshit in order to get love as a prize. We should be getting that throughout the whole time. So, and it's just very clear that Lawrence doesn't know how to cope other than fucking. Like, that is literally his coping mechanism. It's fucking other bitches. So, like, he didn't learn when he got syphilis or chlamydia or whatever it was. He didn't learn when he got Condola pregnant. And this whole situation with them trying to co-parent is not even that. It's just, it was really hard to watch. And my heart goes out to people who don't have relationships with the parents of their children. You know, like the quote-unquote baby mama, baby daddy drama. My heart really goes out to y'all because, I mean, I've been a victim of it. My mom and my dad, that shit was terrible. I mean, it was so rough. But whatever. I mean, sometimes the dad deserves the full custody. Like, I'll just put it that way. Sometimes it's the mom who's toxic as fuck and not fit for parenting. But whatever. But that wasn't the case. Well, both Condola and... Well, Condola... She's definitely fit to be a parent. Didn't seem fit to be a co-parent. It sounds like she was trying to do everything on her own, but then she was like, yeah, if you want to be involved, but then when he tries to be involved, she gets upset, and then the type of involvement he does, like, well, let me fly in. Like, I found out you're pregnant. I'm still going to take the job in San Francisco and keep flying on the weekends and fuck bitches on Tuesdays. Like, this dude right here. And then how he, you know, yeah, Issa definitely dodged the bullet because he already had his shit packed after she said bye. So he was already going to go. Like, I just love the message it sends, you know? It's like, I love that it shows that both parties can be fucked up and problematic, but I love that none of them, but I love that Lawrence, like, he gets sympathy, but, and both of them, I love that they both get sympathy, but I also love that they don't get the sympathy either, because both of them have been ridiculous. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Y'all had no... type of plan, no strategy in raising a child. Like, what the fuck is this? And then she's going to text him, baby just came out my twat, come through. Like, what are we doing? It's just, I'm sure it was triggering for a lot of people because a lot of people go through this shit. Like, it's just, ugh, I hate to see it. Really, really, really hate to see it. Really, really do. He out here thinking that he's a victim. You blew up my life. Like, nigga, what? And she out here like, look, do what you want to do, but when I see you, I get really upset. But then wanted to play house when she went to Simone's birthday party, which is Lawrence's friend, Derek and Amanda's baby's first birthday. Granted, Issa and Molly were not there, but maybe Kelly told her, she was like, yo, just, like, we don't want you to deal with this drama. We'll just, I don't know why they weren't there. Maybe at that moment, I don't even know, but how Lawrence was trying to get details about Lisa, how's everybody in your group? And Kelly's like, everybody I know and associated with it are thriving with abundance. Like, nigga, she don't miss your goof ass. But the fact that Condola, the one time she wanted to play house was when she had an inkling that Issa might have been there so she can make Issa feel jealous. Like, bitch, fuck out of here. Like, like, these bitches really think that having a pregnant over, having a baby over a dude is gonna keep, like, that whole trapping situation, man, is a real thing. And it's pretty disgusting, but it's also disgusting seeing niggas be like how Lawrence was and how him experiencing turbulence realized that the last thing he said to Condola was not what he wanted to be said to her, but he still don't know what the fuck he's doing. He is such a, it's so many dudes like Lawrence, man, who they appear like they're good dudes, but they just fuck niggas. And it's just, the more these people realize that they all just fuck niggas, male, female, non-binary, the more there'll be understanding in relationships, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, that shit was hard to watch. I mean, unless the Kofi, the dude who Kofi plays, Kofi from Queen Sugar, he was the artist from the left. Do all my what did he say? Do all my invisible niggas go to heaven? But yeah, I wonder if he's gonna be a love interest. It's always a love interest involved, and that's the thing, man. We get so distracted by chasing love, and when is it gonna fall in our lap, and when is it gonna happen, man? Just do y'all. Just enjoy the fact that you can do things you love. Whether you have the money or not, you can figure out a way. I don't know, but can't be letting these motherfuckers stress us out, man. And then how he was in the middle of a date. What? He's like, well, I gotta go. Here's some money. At least he didn't have her pay for the shit by herself. But yeah, it's I'm finding it hard to watch shows and movies that has love interest elements to it. I was like, I don't have any. I don't know. It's just hard to watch these days. And this episode was probably one of the hardest ones. It was but yeah, all of this is I mean, it's about how things, people, when you, like, just like the second season of Ted Lasso, a lot of people are like, ugh, it's not funny. Sometimes you got to talk about the things that that you got to talk about real shit when it comes to comedies, man. Not everything is just, let's crack jokes about everything. Like, there's such a thing when it comes to character development, rather, is very important. And I think that's okay to bring to a comedy. Not every comedy has to be frivolous and shit. You know, it could be there could be some depth to it, and there's definitely been deeper topics that have been explored and Insecure. So I'm very curious to see how it progresses. Very, very over the idea that Molly is still in the picture as a friend. I feel like it's too quick. Like, the first episode, it was very realistic where it's like, oh yeah, okay, we're still trying to figure it out. But man, like, how they're like closer than ever, seems like it's like, there needs to be more exploration of why the things that were said to each other were fucked up. So, oh well. I'm gonna, no matter, I've, you know, critiqued this show a lot, I really am happy to see Issa Rae do her thing, so I'm always root for her. And I like that the episode, I mean, I like that the season has returned to its, like, it seemed like the first season, it was, you know, it's like she did everything she wanted to talk about, but then the seasons after that, it just got more and more saturated with Twitter comments, and it's like, oh, I see what they're saying on Twitter, well, let's add to it just to appease them. And I'm just glad they're not trying to do everything to appease them. I'm loving that they're raising real discussions on social media platforms, so I'm fucking with it. All right, we're gonna round this out to the overtime, baby. Yo, gonna round it out with a few things. I want to get the heavy part out because I didn't want to put it in the main portion of the show because so many people opining about this heavy, serious, sad, tragic news, and I don't want to say too much because I wasn't there, but I will have an opinion about a couple of things. So Travis Scott, the Astroworld disaster where 8 people were killed, or 8 people died because they were trampled to death, and then there was like hundreds of injuries. Oh boy, like just hearing the different reactions and how so many white people are like, oh, he needs to go to jail and all that. And I just don't know how that's even fair to, like, it's fair to have some accountability. Yeah, okay, he could have stopped that, what that, this, that, and the third type situation along those lines. But as far as blaming him and saying he needs to face jail time, that's a little extreme for my taste, for my liking, mainly because a lot of people don't understand what artists can't see when they're performing. The spotlight, there's so many times where, like, I don't even know how most of my audiences look when I'm performing. So when it's 50,000 people and you see a bunch of ruckus, I don't understand how he can be at fault when you go to concerts and it's mosh pits all the fucking time anywhere, you know, any rock concert you go to, they, you know, and yeah, they're not trampled to death, but. And then I saw a headline that said, this is Travis Scott's Altamont, which is 1969. Yeah, that was called they said that's the summer, that's when the summer of love ended, because, and there was, you know, Rolling Stones never got accused of, or Rolling Stones was never like, oh, they need to go to jail because of what happened to Altamont. There was hella motherfuckers who was getting stabbed to death by Hell's Angels. And one of them was a black dude, but I guess they don't give a fuck about that, so. Like, I remember because I was big into rock, the history of rock, and how it was stolen from black people. And Altamont is one of the things, because Altamont was their answer to Woodstock, and I'm pretty sure it was in California, and it was rowdy as fuck. And to compare what happened at Travis Scott's Astroworld to that, I don't know. Because there was actually stabs, like there were stabbings, like, so there was intent to kill nobody. I don't think those 8 people, and I just don't understand, like, the 8 people who were trampled to death, I just really find it hard to believe that the people who trampled to death, like, knew what the fuck was going on. It was a surge, so people were moving forward. People were excited, so it was a surge of excitement that ended up being deadly. And I just don't understand how the security is not at fault in this, like, how they're not facing any type of blame when they're going to put it on Travis Scott. And it's probably because you got this dark ass nigger boy with these nigger picker ninny braids, you know what I'm saying, because people are racist and I know how they work. So you got this, and he's not only did he knock up one of America's princesses with one baby, but two. Now you got two babies. And you got that awful-ass People headline that said, pregnant Kylie Jenner unscathed after 8 people died. Like, bitch, what? Like, why are we holding? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the fault that I'm seeing in how it's been portrayed. And how Travis Scott's been demonized. Yeah, Alec Baldwin caught a whole-ass body. Ain't been demonized. No one's like, oh, he needs to go to jail. Like, fuck these people, bro. Moving on to still in the same vein of Scott, but a different person. Definitely shout out to Scott McCuddy. Kid Cudi. Shout out to Kid Cudi. I watched the A Man Named Scott documentary on Amazon Prime earlier this morning. It was fucking great. Just hearing him go through the process of the first two albums he did, and then also opening up about the struggles he had and with substance abuse, and also like suicidal thoughts and all that. I thought that was really beautiful that he shared that with us. Shout out to Kid Cudi, man. I love that dude. Those first two albums, Man on the Moon 1 and 2. No, first three albums. The mixtape, A Kid Named Cudi. And then the first two, Man on the Moons. I needed them. I needed them when they came out. It changed so much for me. It was amazing. Like, both Kid Cudi. I used to interchange. When Kid Cudi came out, I was just getting into Lupe Fiasco. So I would interchange the Man on the Moon album with The Cool and Food and Liquor. So that was a good time in my life. And that was when I got inspired to do hella shit. So thank you, Kid Cudi. Shout out to the people who were all involved in the Red Clay Festival, the volunteers, the producers, the comedians, everybody. It was fun. I had a good time showing face and seeing some peeps that, like, some people came back from, some who were in the 1865 festival came back for the Red Clay, and it was dope. I was really happy to see my comedian homies. So shout out to y'all. Will Smith had the new book out. I will not read it, but kudos to him for being, I mean, he has a lot going on apparently. So, but as far as the relationship he has with his wife and kids, not my business. Upcoming, I still need to see Harder They Fall. I really want to see it. I know it's going to be good. My only issue with, well, it's not an issue. It's just I know that there's been some backlash for Zazie Beetz being casted as Stagecoach Mary, Stagecoach Mary was not thin and biracial by any means. She was definitely a plump, dark-skinned black woman, but you know Hollywood don't think those women deserve any type of love interest, so you gotta make it sexy. So yeah, I know that was a backlash for that, but at least that's out the way. Then Michael Che, he has a new special coming out on Netflix on the 16th, so that's what, oh shit, it's exactly a week from today, so next Tuesday, y'all. And then Southside, which I am really, really, really looking forward to. It went from Comedy Central to HBO Max. The second season come out this week, so look out for that. And I think I mentioned this already, but I'm going to talk about it again. So very, very pumped about the first game of my season tickets being this coming Sunday with the Bucks. It's gonna be awesome. So yeah, because the last time I went to a Hawks game was when Steve Nash was his second MVP season, so 2007, when he and Amari Stoudemire was just torching the league, man. They were such a great fucking force, man. I really thought they were gonna win it. Oh well. I'm just very glad that I'm leaning into what I used to, because, I mean, I've always loved basketball. It was always my favorite sport. I like how I dribble up and down the court, Curtis Blow. But yeah, it's always been my passion. And even me doing stand-up comedy, like those two things, making people laugh and sports, I've always merged that, because being a sports reporter is pretty much kind of, it's very similar to being a comedian, that you got to keep things witty and engaging. So but yeah, so I spent a lot of my years, I don't know, kind of hiding my true knowledge of sports, because I always end up alienating myself, because the people, like the girls, you know, my age were like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, bitch. And then the dudes my age who I had crushes on, they were like, I don't appreciate the fact that you know more about it than me. So I just hid that part a lot. Didn't let a lot of guys know that part once I started dating, because I don't know, man. I guess I thought that would make myself more desirable in their eyes. Now I don't give a shit. And actually, it's been the opposite. Like, more dudes who's like, yo, you like basketball? The more it's like, yo. So, ladies, if you are in a relationship, fucking watch basketball with your nigga, all right? Because I'm tired of them coming to me. All right. On that note, I holla. Catch you next time. Peace.